Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here this morning. And we are grateful for the church support every month and the prayers that you put up to the Lord for us and on our behalf. We're excited about what God can do and has done through you folks. And we appreciate, since we've been back, some of the men helped us move into the place that we live into. And we got a Christmas offering from the church, and others have given us offerings, and we're thankful for all that comes in, support of love and kindness throughout the church, and we're excited about that. And I never thought that I would be able to survive this long in Japan, actually. I didn't know that I would be there this long. We're thankful this January. We've been in Japan for 42 years. It's hard to believe and hard to imagine, but God has sustained us there. Over the years, I think back about what God has done over the years and different things. When we first went to Japan, the amount of support that we received wasn't a lot. This Christmas, we got three times as much for Christmas offerings as we got support when we first went to the field. So I was just thinking and thanking the Lord for just taking care of us and allowing us to be able to serve there these many years, and He's helped us with support. I was just in a church in Arizona this last week. I thought I'd go down there and get some heat, but it was cold down there, too. So everywhere I go, I guess they didn't want me to get too used to the hot and then come back to the cold again in Minnesota. And so we didn't warm up too much down there. But I was in a church there, and it was a new church for me. But I told them, I'm not looking for new support. I'm really not. I don't need any more support. I'm thankful for the support I have. God's allowed us to have the amount of support we have, and I'm thankful for that. And He's kept us on the field, so I'm not trying to raise support. So I'm not trying to take away from people that are trying to raise money to go to the field, and I don't really need any more. And unfortunately, I've set up my schedule, and I've had two churches contact me that want me to come that don't support me, and I didn't even solicit them. You know, I didn't really want to go there, but I guess the Lord wanted me to, so I'm going to be going to a couple of new churches while I'm here in the States. But pray for us as we travel around. We were talking about it yesterday, Terry and I, and our schedule. And this, the last Sunday of the month, I'm going to be in Wisconsin, the enemy state, next to Minnesota. And I'll be there in Wisconsin. And I head to Kansas for a couple of meetings in Kansas, and then from Kansas to Illinois. And then back home, then I go to Michigan, and Terry says, "Well, I hope we have somebody to travel with you." I said, "Yeah." I thought you were traveling with me. But anyway, the schedule just keeps going, and you just kind of take it as it comes, I guess. But we're thankful that we can be here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here. And work's doing well in Japan. We're thankful for that. The Japanese pastor right now is in the pulpit there, Yoshida is his name. He has three young children, and we've sent things about them before in the past, but the Lord's blessing them and helping them, so pray for them. One of the projects when we get back is we want to try to change part of the building that we have, the second floor, into an apartment building or apartment for them, so they won't have to pay a lot of money to get in an apartment, and they're running out of room. I hope they don't have any more kids for a while, but average family in Japan has one kid or none, so it's just like they have three already. And the Lord blessed them, though, and they're excited about the kids they have, and we're excited for them. So pray for them. And then the new work up in Aguadan is up there working, and he's trying to finish up the building. And that's another thing I'm going to have to do, is probably head back to Okinawa here within the next few weeks. I don't even know when. He's going to let me know. Then I got to try to hop on a plane, get over there, and finish the paperwork for the registration of the building, and then come back. So it's going to be a kind of fast and furious trip. And I also have to go back to Japan in March for our Bible school graduation, and then some paperwork or other paperwork I have to do in Japan. So there's all kinds of different things going on. So pray for that. I'm sure Terry's not going to be traveling on them trips back to Japan. She's going to stay here in the cold, and I'm going to go in the heat. But we have just let the Lord take care of things, and we're thankful for what He's done, and we're excited about the future Pray for us. We're planning on turning the church over to the Japanese pastor in 2021. And then from there, we'll just be helping other ministries. That's our goal, is to help the ministries, other pastors, Japanese pastors in Japan, also the missionaries that are going on furloughs and different things. So filling in different places, doing different things. And pray for us as we try to transition from place to place and do different things. It's a lot of different things that need to be covered. But the Lord always gives us strength. We're thankful for that. And we're excited about what God can do in the future, looking for the things that He has for us. And, you know, we appreciate your prayers and all that you do for us here. We're excited about the church and what God has done here at First Baptist Church in St. Francis. And little did I ever realize when I was going to high school over there at St. Francis High, that used to be where the junior high is, and all the schools were there. There was the grade school, the junior high, and the senior high all in one building there. And at that time, I was in school. But did I realize that the church would be here and I'd be preaching at this facility? And we're thankful, though, that God has allowed us to be able to see what He can do. The blessings of God are great, and we're excited about what God can do with us. As you know, we're in Japan. Some of you maybe don't know us real well, but we've been there, as I said, for a while. And first learned the language. I remember I have to keep coming up with new things to tell you because I know I've told you a lot of things already, maybe several times. I don't know, but and I appreciate you laughing when I say it over again and over again. If you keep laughing, that'll help me out. But I was in language school, and after 3 months, I was really struggling with the language. And we were working in a church there in the Tokyo area. It was called Hikari Baptist Church, Gospel Light Baptist Church. And we were working in that church, and one of the Christians was trying to talk to me. And I was struggling to try to talk back and carry on a conversation. And so the lady asked me, how many kids do you have? And in Japanese, I was trying to respond. She's asking me in Japanese. I said, I was supposed to say, sanin arimasu. And I said, sanzen nin arimasu. I was supposed to say, I have three, but I said, I have 3,000. She looked at me, 3,000? Yeah, my wife's real hardy, you know. Or else my name's Solomon, I don't know which, but we, you just learn to laugh at yourself in a language like that. It's always a struggle, but we're thankful that God has allowed us to overlook our mistakes and go on and just keep on plugging away. We appreciate everything that God has done for us and kept us there, because it wasn't for His grace, we wouldn't be there, I know that. And we just appreciate God's faithfulness to us. You know, we're not necessarily faithful to Him, but He's faithful to us. And I'm thankful for that. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 through 17. I'm going to read those passages. I want to speak this morning about loving your life in Christ. Loving your life in Christ. Do you really love things that you do in Christ? Do you love coming to church? Do you love serving God? Do you love teaching? If you teach in the Sunday school or you have some other ministry, the children's programs or the youth program, do you really love doing what you do? And in Peter here, we know Peter pretty good. Peter's quite a character, basically, in the Bible. I like Peter because Peter made a lot of mistakes, but yet after his mistakes, you know, God forgave him. He always got back on his feet and served God. He was called from being a fisherman, God, and immediately he left everything, started serving God. But then after that, what happened? He went back fishing again, and then God came again, and they left their nets again and followed Christ, and then they're with Him for 3.5 years, basically. But then when Jesus was taken and going to be crucified, Peter denied Him, right? He denied Him 3 times. Then Jesus came to him again after He had risen from the grave, and Peter was out fishing again. He went back to the old life, was back fishing, and Jesus asked him, "Lovest thou Me more than these?" And Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, Thou knowest I love Thee." And He asked him 3 times. And so I know Peter knew a lot about love. Because God loved him. And God forgave him over and over again. So he knew a lot about love. And I think that we need to realize that we need to love the life that God has given us, the life we have in Christ. And if we do, we can have a lot more, there will be a lot more blessings. We'll have more joy in our life, have more happiness. You know, you don't need to look like you've been weaned on dill pickles when you come to church. Because it should be exciting, and it should be happy about what God can teach you from the Word of God. But First Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says this, First Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or rallying for rallying, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and endure it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they might may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And really, the basis of our message that I took out of verse 10, and he said, for he that will love life and see good days. He that will love life. You love your life in Christ. That's the key, I think. As Christians, we need to examine ourselves once in a while and see what our motives are, see what our attitude is, see what we're doing, why we're doing it. And we should love Christ. That boils down to the main ingredient, I think. It's if we love Christ like we should, we're going to serve Christ like we should. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day given us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you just guide and direct now this day that we might glorify you in all things that we do. We thank you for loving us, saving us, dying on the cross for us, so we can have eternal life. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me, give me strength and wisdom as I preach. And I pray that you just guide and direct in all things that we might glorify you. We thank you, Lord, just for all that you do, and help us as we humble ourselves before you. We're nothing before you. And, Lord, you've done it all for us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. I think we need to realize that our love, the life that we love in Christ should be one that should glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, God gave each and every one of us life. And in the beginning, of course, in Genesis, right, in 2:7, it said, and God breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. And he's given us life. He's given each and every one of us that are here today life. We have life, and we're thankful for the life that we have. If you didn't have life, you wouldn't be here today. You know, you'd be in a casket or someplace else, you know, or underground. You know, but y'all are alive. You're here, and we're thankful for that. And hopefully, you'll stay alive and alert. You know, while I'm preaching, some people fall asleep, but more power to you. You probably get more out of it. Anyway, but we're just thankful that, you know, we have life. And it's a privilege to serve God and the life that we have. And God gave us that life that we can glorify him in all things that we do. And we should be excited about what God has given us. And a person that loves life, he should want to protect his life, right? A person that loves his life doesn't want to kill other people. The Bible tells us, that Jesus told us not to kill. And, thou shalt not kill. That was one of the first commandments, right? And we should love life. And, they don't commit sins of taking somebody else's life, not murder or anything else, or abortions is taking a life. Or if we kill ourselves, suicide, that's taking our life. And so we need to think that life is precious. It's a precious commodity, and we have it because God has given it to us. If God hadn't given us life, we would not be able to sustain day in and day out. But God has given each and every one of us life. And, you know, Japan has one of the highest rates of suicide of any place in the world. Has one of the highest rates of abortion of any place in the world. People don't get all those figures from reading books or what about Japan, because they like to hide all the bad points about their country. But that's one of the things that they have. And they have a temple for the aborted babies in Japan. So the ladies can go there in probably every prefecture in Japan, where they've aborted their baby, and they weep over the soul that the life they took. And so they even know that there is a life, right? And if they know it theirself, and they're heathens, you know, basically compared to us, they don't know anything about God, but they know that they took a life. And, we need to realize that it's important. And the Japanese society, because of the culture and because of the stress and just all the things that go on in the system there, makes people want to take their own life and you destroy other people's lives, and it's hard. But it's all because of one of the philosophies of Buddhism is, that suicide is not really wrong. It's a glorious thing, and that came about because of Buddhism. They believe that you shouldn't kill animals or bugs or anything else. There was a Buddhist priest one time that was talking to a missionary, and the missionary was walking down the way with him, and the missionary noticed that the Buddhist priest was, every time he took a step, if there was a bug or something or an ant, he'd step over it, and he wouldn't step on it. He didn't want to kill it. Now, Japan doesn't really necessarily believe that there's reincarnation, but Buddhism, it does believe that. They don't believe that necessarily in Japan, but other countries of the world do. And they believe in reincarnation, and you shouldn't take the life of animals and bugs and different things. So this Buddhist priest kept stepping over all these ants and everything. So the missionary said to the Buddhist priest, he said, what do you think how would you tell these ants that you don't want to kill them, that you really love the ants? And, he said, well, when I die, and I'd like to come back as an ant. And if I came back as an ant, then I'd go to the ants and I'd tell them that I love them. I loved them in my other life, and I love them now, and I wouldn't want to destroy them. And so the missionary looked at the Buddhist priest and he said, that's exactly what Jesus did for you. He looked down on this earth, and he came from heaven down to here, and he died on the cross to show his love that you might be saved and born again. And that the story of that Buddhist priest and that missionary is that Buddhist priest then put his trust in Jesus Christ because he understood what he was talking about. And that's the love that we have in Christ. Because of the way the philosophies of the different people and people that don't believe in Christ, in Chinese, the Chinese Buddhist priest, his name is Zendo Taishi, and he was the one that greatly influenced Japanese people for suicides and committing suicide. He climbed a mountain and he jumped off and committed suicide, and his followers said that was a beautiful death and praised him for it. And because of it, it's been influenced all over Japan, and not just, and China too. China and Japan, that they glorify committing suicide. That's a good way to end your life. And so because of that, a lot of people have committed suicide. And during that era when that happened, which was the Kamakura era in Japan, a lot of people committed suicide. But now, even today, over 30,000 people a year commit suicide in Japan. And per capita, that's pretty big because there's only 125 million people in Japan. And so 30,000 of them committing suicide every year is a lot of people. We need to pray that God will help us to realize that we should love life. And we love life so much that we should want to share it with other people. We should want to go out and tell others about Christ. That means that we should realize that God's given us this great and precious promise of life, and now life eternal. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, then you have life eternal. That's a great thing, isn't it, that God has given us. I want to give you a few things why we should love life. And number one is this: you are one-minded, and therefore you should love life. You're one-minded in Christ. It says in verse 8 of chapter 3 there, finally be ye all of one mind. And in the final analysis, as things go here, he says, and finally I'm going to get around to it. I'm going to tell you what you need to be. He says here, be ye all of one mind. And if if we have one mind, we're going to love the life that God's given us. That means that people that we work together, right? We're supposed to work together as a church. We're supposed to be one-minded. We're supposed to have one goal. We're supposed to have one vision. We're supposed to go forward with the gospel. We're supposed to get the things of God. We're supposed to love God. And so as we have we're in harmony one with another. Harmony. That means we're working together. We're loving each other. We're doing the things that we have in the church. We serve and do what God wants us to do. We're united with Christ. If we're united in Christ, then we should be willing to overlook some of the other things. We should go on and we should be faithfully serving God. We try to get united there in Japan with a lot of the Japanese churches. We try to work together and at our Bible school there in Osaka, Japan. A lot of churches are involved in that. And so they come together. The pastors come. We don't have any really full-time teachers or anything. So the pastors come from different distances. different days and teach in the Bible schools. They take turns doing that. Some of them might come from an hour away. Some of them might be closer, 30 minutes. Some of them might be three and a half hours away. But they drive to the Bible college, spend the whole day there teaching. They might spend the night and go, come and go, but they're there teaching. And, you know, they're united. The thing about it is, you know, we have pastors in Japan, and I might have told you this before, but just recently we've celebrated a lot of 50th anniversaries in Japan of churches that have been started through the ministry of BMI missionaries over the years. So some of these guys, some of these pastors have been in the same church for 50 years. 50 years. Pastor Ogawa just celebrated their 50th anniversary in their church in Osaka, Japan there. Sendai Newtown Baptist Church. He, with a missionary, started that church. He took it as a pastor. Just as he was going to Bible college, he took it as a pastor. And Pastor Ogawa is 76 years old. He's been pastoring that church for 50 years. 51 years. Now, 51 years. We got a lot of pastors in Japan that have been pastoring their churches for 45 years, 40 years, 30, 35 years. They don't just jump around from church to church. You know, they don't just say, hey, well, I'm getting tired of this place. I want to move on. And a lot of them are struggling. It's tough, but they're united, and that's what we need. We need to be united and going forward for God and serving God. And you know what? These people are excited. Pastor Murakami has been in his church now for 25 years. He's the president of the Bible College. He just recently, last couple of years, he got diagnosed with a disease. They don't even know what it is in Japan. It's such a new disease that the Japanese government basically has taken him as the test person to try to figure out what's wrong with him. So they pay for all his medical expenses and everything. And within 10 years, he's going to be in a wheelchair. But he's happy about serving God. He says, if I can think, I'm still going to serve God. And if I can talk, I'm still going to serve God. And so he is united with his people and the other missionaries and other pastors around the area. And so if we have one mind, we can unite in a great way. Like Jesus was united with God and the Holy Spirit. That's the way we need to be united, right? We have the Holy Spirit within our life and directing us and taking care of us and helping us day in and day out. And so we need to be united. We will be blessed if we obey the things of God and we do what God has told us to do. Verse 9, it says, not rendering evil for evil or rallying for rallying, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are there unto called that ye should inherit a blessing. God says we're going to inherit a blessing. Now, I don't know when that's going to be. Maybe right now you should be blessed. I think everybody in this church is blessed. I believe that. In one way or another, you might not be blessed as much as other people. You might not have the things that others have, but you know what? We're all blessed. We're blessed because we can walk in here today. And some of us have a struggle walking in here. Pastor Snow's not here today, but at least I don't see him. But, you know, he comes when he can. And, you know, we're way more blessed than he is right at this point. I would not want to be physically handicapped like he is or some of the other people I know. But you know what? God's blessed us. And God's given us blessings, and we need to realize that because of the unity that we can do things for God, we can be blessed. And God will take care of us. You know, we all need to realize that we're all equal before God, and not one person is better than the other. Not one person, because they have more money, or maybe they're better looking, or they can sing like Sarah can sing. You know, that doesn't mean that you're better than anybody else, you know. We're all the same, right? And I can hear Sarah singing up here when I'm standing up here. I can hear her better than when I'm sitting behind her. She's got lungs, you know. I don't have those lungs. In fact, I'm losing my voice. I don't know why, but over the years, my voice has gotten worse. But, you know, we're thankful for people like that. We're thankful for people that, you know, bless us with song, but also we can be a blessing to them. And, you know, God has blessed us. But the second thing is, you have compassion for others. You have compassion. If you love like you should, you're going to have compassion for others. It says here, also in verse 8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Having compassion one of another. Do you have compassion for that? That means sympathy. That means that you should be kind and courteous and to help other people. Think about other people. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ. If we represent God, if I do in Japan, I'm a representative of God. I'm a representative of the church here. If they look at me and they say, well, that guy's an idiot. You know, I don't want to be around him. You know, he's one of our missionary friends. He said one time he was preaching and I was sitting in the audience. And he said, you know, all we are is a bunch of ding-a-lings. And then he looked at me, he says, there's ding and I'm ling, he said. It's probably true. But, you know, we need to realize that we need to be kind and courteous to all people, right? We can be what God wants to think about the needs of others before you think about your own physical needs. And I know there's people that are in this auditorium and have thought about us more than they've probably thought about themselves. They've given to us sacrificially, and I'm thankful for that. We need to realize that, you know, we are saved, that we might have the same kind of compassion that Jesus did on others and helped them with the needs that they had. And Jesus had compassion. And we need to have that compassion as we look on people. Jesus said in Matthew that as he looked on the multitudes, he had compassion on them. And we need to have compassion on the people around us, compassion on the people that we rub shoulders with on Sunday morning and Wednesdays or whatever, Sunday night, Wednesday, when we do church activities and things. We need to realize that we should have compassion and we should think about other people. You should have a compassion for others and not for yourself. Peter had compassion, I think, a lot of compassion because he knew what Jesus had done for him and he knew how he had denied the Lord and he knew that the things that he had gone wrong in his life, but he had compassion. And if we had compassion on others as they did, Peter had compassion on the lame man in Acts chapter 3 when he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. And he said, rise up and walk, and he did. He had compassion on him, right? He didn't have money, he didn't have other things, but he had compassion. And we can have compassion. Do you have concern for the lost? You bring people to church and that they might hear the gospel. At Christmas there was a lot of people came, and I know a lot of people brought friends and relatives, and that's the time to bring them. Well, we do that at Christmas. We like to get people to come because they don't understand Christmas in Japan. And so it's a good time to get people to come, but it's a good time to bring for you also to bring your friends and relatives and family and people that don't know Christ and they understand what it's all about. Do you tell others about Christ? Are you excited about Christ? I was in the airport one day going through customs, and this guy, I had my briefcase, and the guy's like, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a missionary. And he said, he saw my Bible and stuff. He wanted me to take all my stuff out of my briefcase, you know, and everything. And I don't think it was the same guy, but one guy says, you got a hammer in your briefcase. I said, I don't have a hammer in my briefcase. I do a lot of carpenter work, but I don't have a hammer in there. He said, yeah, you do. He made me empty it totally out. And I had a ballpoint pen that had a little hammer head on it about a half an inch long. Well, one sense, I guess he was right, but so this guy says, he said, you're a missionary. What do you do? I said, I'm a missionary in Japan. He said, that means that you're a preacher. Well, he called me reverend. You're a reverend, right? And I don't like to use that word, reverend. I don't know what that means, but couldn't mean anything good. But anyway, he says, you're a reverend. I said, no. Well, I'm a missionary. He says, okay. He says, I'll give you, I think he said, 15 seconds to tell me what you believe. Just like that at the customs. So I said, well, the Bible tells us we need to be born again. If you're not saved, you're not going to go to heaven. And you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, okay, thank you. Let my stuff shut. You're on your way. But we should be excited about telling people about Christ, right? I mean, that should be our goal. That's what we desire. The third thing is that a person that loves life is going to love his fellow Christians. Now, sometimes that's tough. You know, just think about it. If somebody has to try to love you, what is that like, you know? I know if somebody tries to love me, that's difficult. You know, I'm not a perfect person at all. Far from it. And so I got a faults, and I got things that people don't like, and I say things I shouldn't say probably. But, you know, we need to love our fellow Christians. That's what the Bible tells us here in verse 8. It says, "For you will love." Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, love as brethren, like brothers. You know, when I grew up, I don't know, we had a few spats in our home, you know, with amongst the siblings. You know, my I was second oldest. My sister, Beck, is older than me, and then Tom, and then Barb. Barb never got into it because she was too young, so we didn't pick on her much, but tried to protect her. But, you know, there's always something going on, you know, and we'd get mad and hit each other and whatever, you know, and then Dad have to come and straighten it all out. But we weren't loving as brethren. We do now, you know, we're thankful that we get along well, and our family gets along well. So it's exciting, but we need to be love as brethren, the Bible says, and love one another. Be kind to one another. Tell others that you love them. 1 John 3:18. Look at that a second. 1 John 3:18. It says here, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's easy to talk, right? And, you know, Bob Jones Sr., he said, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. That's indeed, right? So your deeds talk louder, much louder than your voice does. And our actions speak a whole lot louder than our mouth does. So we need to realize that we need to live the life that Christ wants. And we need to love. Not in deed, I mean, not in word only, but in deed. In action, showing some action that you really love somebody. You know, if you're married, you're going to show your wife, your spouse, your husband that you love them, right? Some kind of action. You know, when some kind of special time comes up, or a birthday or anniversary or whatever, you know, you get your wife some flowers or you do something. Why? Because you love her, right? I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. We need to love one another. We need to love the brethren, the people in the church. And we need to show kindness towards one another and do good works towards other people. It says in 2 Peter 1:7, this next book over there, after 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1:7, and do godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity, or love. We need to show love. One towards another, right? And if we do, I think that God's going to help us in our daily life. Do you want God to hear your prayers? It says in verse 12 of chapter 3, of 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, you want your prayers answered? You need to love one another. You need to have the Lord doing things for you. That you can, as you pray and ask God to help others, and God's going to bless you. His ears are open unto you. One of the requirements, you know, Wednesday night they're studying about prayer. If you need some help on that, come on Wednesday night and learn about prayer. Prayer is an important part of our life. And as we pray, if we don't want our prayers hindered, we don't want things to go wrong, we want the blessings of God, then we need to lift up the things and request to God in prayer. If we pray, God will help us in the needs that we have. It says in verse 9, but render evil, not rendering evil for evil or rallying for rallying, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are there unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. And that's the kind of life that we should live, right? If we live a life of kindness towards others, show love towards people around us, I believe that God's going to bless the things that we do. You know, we should be praying for others. If we pray that God will bless others, or as we treat others the way we should treat them with kindness. You know, sometimes we get the idea that, oh, somebody did something bad to me, so I'm just going to be mad, or I'm just going to, you know, turn my back on them, or I'm going to get away from them. But the Bible says what? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So God's holding the score, right? We don't know all the whole score. We don't know all the things that are going on, but God's going to take care of all that. He promised He would. Don't you believe Him? I hope you do, because God will. Now, God knows what's going on. We might not necessarily see it in this lifetime, but you know what? One of these days, we're going to know. One of these things, the days, everything's going to be straightened out, and we need to realize that we need to love one another like Christ loved us, and show that we will serve God in every area. The fourth thing that I have here is that you need to be kind-hearted. You need to be kind-hearted. If you love life, you love your life in Christ, you're going to be kind-hearted, right? And we need to, Clarence over there, he's always kind to me. I don't know why, but he is. He's just always kind to me. And he says, you know, I love you guys, and I appreciate that from Clarence. I can count on it always. He's always going to say that to me because that's coming from his heart. It's always coming from his heart. We need to be kind-hearted. If you're kind-hearted, you're going to show the love of Christ, right? And I think we need to be kind-hearted to others. You know, we need to be sensitive to others' needs, sensitive to the needs of the people around us and the church people and people that have a great need. There's a lot of people that have needs. You know, there's always somebody that's in bad, worse condition than you are, someplace around here. There's always somebody in worse condition. I mean, we get the prayer list. We get all the prayer requests that come through all the time. And, you know, they're sent to us from the office there. And you know, we can pray for people, pray for the needs of people, and we can bring them up before the Lord in prayer. So every time something comes in, I pray for that need that shows up on that list. And whatever that is, I might not know the people, you know, like you know. But, you know, a lot of people I do know. So I'm able to pray for those people when it comes through on my phone. You know, my smartphone that's smarter than me shows me all those things. And I can pray for people that need help, need God's intercessory prayer in that point. But we need God's leadership. We need to be sensitive to other people. If you suffer for Christ, it's going to, you know, you're going to be blessed for it. The Bible says in verse 13, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be ye troubled." We got, right now in our church, we have several people, at least three that I know of, and maybe four, whose spouses are against them coming to church. I mean, totally against them. It's not, we don't really understand it in America. You don't understand it. You don't understand that just because there's, not only is their spouse against them, but the whole family then is against them coming to church. I mean, they put pressure on them all the time. How come you're not praying before the altar? How come you're not praying to the ancestors? How come you're not giving some incense or burn, you know, food or something to the altar? And they put pressure on them. They badmouth them all the time. Japan's a system of basically, you know, bullying. That's what I consider it. It's a bully society. So the older people are always bullying the younger people. It starts in grade school. And in the grade school, and I was telling you about suicide, there's a lot of kids in grade school that commit suicide because of the bullying of kids in their class. Because that kid might be a little bit different, or, you know, he just doesn't interact the way everybody else does. So they pick him out and they bully him, and they bully him, and they bully him, and bully him, and pretty soon he commits suicide. It's a sad society. It's a bully society, the whole thing. But we need to be sensitive to the needs of others, kind-hearted. So that's hard for the Japanese to understand. How can I be kind to my, you know, people around me? But several, like I said, several. We have three or four people that come to church regularly all the time. And one of our members, he's a member, and the guy's really, really faithful. And they're all the time and serving God and doing anything you want. And he tells me, he said, "Pastor, just call me up, whatever you need. No matter what time it is, you just call me up, and I'll come over and help." And his wife is so against him coming to church, she's threatened to divorce him several times. And it's very unusual. They're in their 30s, and they have two young kids, 6 and 4 years old. And she likes the party life. She likes to drink. And he doesn't want to give her any money to do anything like that. You know, so she's gotten her own job, and she spends it on all those kind of things. But she doesn't want to. If he says something about Christ, she just blows off the top. Just lets them have it, you know. But we need to be sensitive to the things around us and be kind-hearted to people. And see, he's still kind-hearted. I keep telling him, you know, one of these days she's going to get saved. I'm praying, and I know she's going to get saved. So we just got to keep praying, and you just keep being kind to her. And, you know, when you be kind to her, she doesn't like that either because you're just too nice. You know, you can't be that nice and when I'm doing all this nasty stuff to you. But you can. And you can keep being nice. People don't like it when you're nice to them. If they're upset or mad at you, even in the church, you know, they don't like it when you're being nice to them. So we need to be nice to people, kind to people, and God will take care of that. The Bible says in verse 14 there, what? Happy are ye. I hope you're happy in the Lord. I hope you're happy about serving God and and what God has for you, and God can take care of your life. We have joy, the joy of the Lord. You know, we sang that, we always sung that song, Jesus and others and you and the life of each other. But J is for Jesus, O is for others, Y is for you. You know, that joy that you have, you put yourself in the last place, and you're going to have joy in your heart serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're fearing, the Bible says, you don't have to fear, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. We don't have to be afraid of them, because God's with us, and God can help us. Help us to be kind, one to another, kind to others around us, kind to the people that we meet on the street, even though they're upset or mad at us. We need to be kind to them. The fifth thing is, the last one is, you are humble. If you're humble, you're going to show the love that you really love your life in Christ. That's hard sometimes, to be humble, you know. Sometimes we're proud, and sometimes we get arrogant, maybe. But we get proud, and we get knowing things, and we think that we know more than somebody else, or we can do better than other people, and we don't humble ourselves before God. We need to be humble before God, because God is the one that can help us. We need to treat others better than ourselves, and we should be one that show a godly life before other people. It says in verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ, your good work, your life in Christ. They're accusing you because you're good. They're trying to get something at you. We need to be ready and willing to answer for the Lord Jesus Christ and humble ourselves. Jesus was a humble servant because he sat down with the disciples and he washed their feet. He got out the pan and he got out the towel and he started washing the disciples' feet. And Peter said, "Don't wash my feet, wash my whole body." And Jesus said, "No, you don't need that." He was humbling himself. That was the dirtiest, filthiest job back in those days, because when somebody came into their house, the first thing the guest was to receive from the person that invited them into the house was they're supposed to wash their feet. So that was a humbling job, right? I mean, feet look pretty nasty. I don't know about yours, but, you know, a lot of people's feet aren't very pretty. But, you know, you got to wash your feet. Wash your feet because you're humbling yourself. It's a humbling job. And you might have to have a humbling job here. You might have to clean the restrooms, or you might have to mop the floor. You might have to do some change some dirty diapers in the lawn, down the stairs in the nursery. I don't know. But, you know, you have to humble yourself. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves to serve God, and that's the best way that God can use us, if we humble ourselves, because Christ died for us, and he humbled himself before us. And I think that the key here in verse 15 shows us that it says here, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. That means, like, worship God in your heart all the time. All the time you should be worshiping God in your heart. So if you're worshiping God in your heart all the time, if you're sanctifying God in your life, you're not going to have time for, you know, criticism of others, bad-mouthing other people, or doing bad things, or thinking the wrong thoughts, or having the wrong attitude, or doing the things you shouldn't be doing, because you're sanctifying God in your heart. You're worshiping God. That's why we come to church, isn't it? We come to church to worship God, to sing songs, worship God. We, you know, to sing special to worship God. We preach to worship God. We listen because we want to worship God. We pray because we want to worship God. That's why we come to church. That's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about Pastor Brower. It's not about the deacons. It's not about the guys taking the offering. It's not about anybody, but it's about God. It's worshiping God. And he said, sanctify God in your hearts. And that is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a worship center there. And so you can do that anytime, all the time. You can do it driving down the street. Just don't get too involved in it while you're driving down the street. But, you know, you can do that. You can do it at work. You can do it in, you know, wherever you're at. You know, we need to sanctify God. We need to realize that God can work in our lives and help us to be what he wants us to be. If you're going to be have the love, kind of love in your heart that Christ has given us, we must, first of all, be saved, of course. Salvation is number one. If you're not saved today, you need to be saved. You know, the Bible tells us, and Jesus, the Philippian jailer, came to Paul and Silas, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Yesu o shinji nasai, so suriba, anata no kazoku, anata no mo sukuwaremasu. Be saved. Suku arimasu, salvation in Japanese. What must I do to be saved? Believe, that's all. It didn't say go to church. It didn't say give your money. It didn't say do a bunch of things. Do all these other things. It didn't say crawl on your knees to, from here to Anoka. In the Philippines, they do that. They crawl on their knees for miles till their just knees are bloody. One guy gets nailed to the cross every year in the Philippines. They nail him to the cross every year for his sins, that he might obtain salvation, but he never does, because every year he's back there again. He hangs on the cross until he faints out. They take him to the hospital and revive him. And then every year he does the same thing, this guy. Just so he can have salvation. We don't need that. What if you had to do that for salvation? Wow, there wouldn't be anybody in church today, probably. But we don't need that. Because first thing is salvation. Then dedicate your life to God. Be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in all that you do. Be good stewards of the gospel, the manifold grace of God. That's what it is. Be good stewards. I hope that we're good stewards. I better close, so before we get too wound up here, something else. But I appreciate the fact that Peter recognized the fact that he needed to love God more. And if he loved God more, all these things were going to be prominent in his life. All these things were going to show up in his life, that he might be a better example and better testimony for others, that he might serve God in a greater way. A person that loves their life in Christ, he's going to be one-minded. He's going to have compassion for others. He's going to be a person who loves his fellow Christians. He's going to be a person that is kind-hearted, and he's going to be one that's humble. One that's humble. And Peter even told us there in 2 Peter that we need to be humble. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." He'll take care of it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. We thank you for the privilege that we have to serve you. Lord, I pray, thank you for loving us. Without your love, we wouldn't even be here today. And I thank you, Lord, for loving us, dying for us. Lord, I pray that you help us to exalt you in all that we do, and others might see the love that we have in Christ and the actions that we have in our daily life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be united to go on for you. Help us to love one another. Help us to be humble. Help us to exalt you in all things that we do. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Guide and direct now the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen.